All right. Thank you very much. Joy to be here today. I looked at my clock and I only got a minute here to preach because my clock says 12:20. But I realize that, praise the Lord, I get a little bit more because you're on central time here. But anyway, it's a blessing. I live over in South Bend, as many of you know, and trying to bring a little light in the midst of the darkness there. And so anyway, it's a joy to be able to be here preaching the Word of God. All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and open with me to the book of 2 Kings, if you would. 2 Kings in your Bible. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter number 5. I'm going to be preaching today on the world's worst disease. Okay, disease seems to be something that's in the news a lot today. The coronavirus is worldwide, and so I want to preach on a worse disease of the coronavirus. All right, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. We thank you for this church. Thank you for the fact that it stood all so many years preaching the Word of God. And we pray that will ever be true until the rapture takes place, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity. We pray you'll use the message, speak to hearts, save that soul to be here without Christ, stir the heart of every one of your people, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we pray all of these things. Amen. Now, the worst disease that you could ever have is not the coronavirus. It's not cancer. By the way, I'm battling that right now, that particular disease. Some of you are praying for me. I got three more treatments. Amen. Just three more. Hallelujah. If you hear a shout over, it seems to be really, really a loud shout on Wednesday. Well, it could be the rapture, but, you know, if it's not the rapture, it's me just shouting I'm done with those treatments. So appreciate your prayers and so forth. But the world's worst disease is not any of those that I've just mentioned. You know, there's so many different diseases. In fact, I think it's one of the reasons why we must be close to the coming of the Lord. Because in the tribulation period, the world is going to be plagued with tremendous pestilences and diseases. And certainly we're seeing it right before our very eyes, folks, that what the Bible says is true. And the world it's not going to stop. There's going to be others coming. I hope that isn't too alarming to you, but I'm not alarmed about it. Because when you know the Lord, you don't have to be alarmed, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. So I want us to look at this man, Naaman. He had the world's worst disease. And I want you to see a number of things about this man, Naaman, this morning. First of all, I want you to see the man he was. Now, according to verse number one, he was a great man, not just a famous, not a famous man, but you know, a lot of people can be famous, but not great. And there are a lot of infamous people. My name is Gilmore. There used to be a Gary Gilmore in Utah back in the late 70s. Some of you may remember. Well, he was famous because, you know, of crime he did. But this guy was a great man. And I want you to see why he was such a great man. And he was a great man because, number one, he was honorable. He was honest. There in verse number one, it says he was an honorable man. He was an honest man. That's a rarity. It's a rarity, particularly in politics. Amen. And so, you know, I mean, Abraham Lincoln, he was a great man. And he was honest. One time I remember hearing about how that he someone gave him a penny too much in return change. And so something he purchased, and this is when he was a young man, and he went all the way home, and, you know, they didn't have cars back then. He walked, I don't know how far it was, but He got home and he found out he got too much money to give back to him. And I think it was a penny. Just a penny. And he took it all the way back. You know, he was honorable and he was honest. And, you know, we need some more politicians like that, don't we? We need some people like that. It just doesn't seem like there's much honesty anymore. But this guy was great because he was an honorable man, but that didn't take care of his disease. You know, you could be honorable and that doesn't take care of your disease. Okay. And then we know something else about him. He was great because he was a courageous man. Bible says there in the last part of verse number one that he was a mighty man in valor, which means courageous. He was very, very courageous man. But you know, even though he was honorable and even though he was courageous and even though he was a great man, you know, this Bible says there in verse one, yet he was a leper. He was a leper. Now, it's interesting that God's word uses leprosy, the disease of the leprosy, to picture sin. You know, a leprosy is a horrible disease. You don't hear much about it. It's still around, but you don't hear much about it. But back in these days, it was a horrible disease. It would eat away your flesh. It would eat, you know, your fingers off. It would eat your ears off, your nose off. It was a horrible disease. And, you know, Naaman was a leper. Even though he's great and even though he was courageous, he still had this disease of leprosy. And it didn't take it away just because he was great, just because he was honorable, just because he was a courageous man. Now, if Naaman was here this morning, you know, we would walk in him. And, you know, if you would see him come down the aisle of this church this morning, you would probably say, what happened to his nose? You may say, sure does smell awful. Oh, I tell you something, leprosy had a horrible smell to it. Eating rotten flesh. I mean, rotten flesh is, I don't know, I don't think I've ever smelled rotten human flesh. But, you know, they say, that is the worst smell that you could ever smell. You know, that's what your sin smells like to God. My sin smells like that to God. You know, we'll never have revival until we realize how rotten the smell of sin is in the nostrils of a holy God. Just one, you know. And so this man, you know, you would probably say this, I'm sure, as you'd see him walk down the aisle with his nose gone or whatever, maybe his ears gone, you know, and you would say, oh, what a terrible smell. You would probably say this, that you'd say, you know, I sure wouldn't like to be like him. You know, I sure not want to be like him. I don't think there's anybody in this building, even though he's great, even though he's honorable. You know, he probably was very well paid, too, because he was the general of the Syrian army. You know, you wouldn't want to be like him. But may I say this to you this morning? You are. You are like him. You have the disease of leprosy. You see, leprosy is a picture of sin. We all have this plague of sin. We're born with it. Say, you say, well, I don't feel like I got the plague of sin. You know, I don't feel like I got cancer. I really don't. I mean, I feel as, you know, I feel as normal as I ever have felt, you know, but I got it, you know. That's what they say, the tests say, and so forth. I don't feel like I got it. You may not feel like you got this plague of leprosy, but you do. You were born with it. Say, you and I were born. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin to the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the proof that you have the plague of leprosy is that you're in the process of dying. You know, the first thing that begins to deteriorate in your body is your sense of hearing. That's one of the first things that begins to get, and then your sense of your eyesight. And, you know, I used to have 20/20 vision, but now I got to wear these things, you know. See, you got a disease called leprosy. It's in the Bible, it's a picture of sin. The disease of leprosy is a picture of sin. We're all sinners. Isaiah 1:6 says, from the top of our head to the tip of our toe, we're filled with putrefying sores that cannot be mollified with ointment. Yeah, that's the plague of leprosy, you see, that we all have. And so the second thing I want you to know about this man, not only do we see that he was a great man, but he was a leper. And all that greatness and all that courage and honor didn't take away his disease, leprosy. He was dying. He was dying of a horrible disease. So the second thing I want you to see about this man is the maid he captured. The maid he captured. Look at verse 2 and 3. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now this prophet would be Elijah. And so, this little maid, you know, she was the one that was really great. She was the one that was really great. This little girl. I mean, just a little girl. You know, you can be great and just be a little girl or a boy, or you could be great in the eyes of God, you know, no matter if you're a captive or you're not a captive or whatever. You could be great, say, before a holy God. And this little girl was great. You know why she was great? Because number one, she was compassionate. Now she was taken captive by Naaman, taken away from her mom and dad, taken away from her home. You know, she could have a great bitterness in her heart towards this king. You know, I tell you, bitterness is a horrible thing. And she could have been bitter. Because when you're bitter, you know, you can't be a blessing to anybody. And so she could have been bitter against this king. I mean, she could have said, "He deserves to die. Get out of it. You know, I know there's a prophet that can heal him, but, you know, he deserves to die." And she could have reacted that way, but she was compassionate. She's a picture of God's love for us. God is compassionate towards you and I as sinners. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Say, God didn't have to do that. We didn't deserve that. But God had compassion on us. And he has compassion on you this morning. Because he knows that you have this awful disease called leprosy. And thank God he sent his son to make a way possible for you to get that disease taken care of. Say, this plague of leprosy, this sin plague that we're all afflicted with. And so she was compassionate. Secondly, she was not only great, really great, the really great one here, because of her compassion, but she was great because of her confidence. You see, she knew that Elisha was the prophet of God. Now, how many people did Elisha heal? Lepers did he heal? Well, the Bible tells in Luke 4:27, Naaman was the only one. And so this little girl's got a lot of faith. You know, I mean, there wasn't a whole bunch of people that Elisha had healed, but she believed in Elisha, and she had faith that Elisha could bring healing to this general. And she had a tremendous faith here. You see, if you want to be great before God, you got to go by faith. You got to have you got to believe him. You got to trust him. Say, "I believe God's testing my faith." You know, and God allows tests in our life to build our faith. See, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You know, people don't come to church Sunday night. They're not going to have the faith that someone would have who comes to Sunday night service. See, faith comes by hearing by what? The word of God. That's how you have faith. That's how you got to get the word of God in your life. Memorize it, you know. You hear it. You read it. That's how you get faith. You're not reading your Bible. Your faith's going to be skimpy. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, little faith will take your heaven to soul. You don't, take your soul to heaven. You don't have to have a lot of faith to get to heaven. Just take the little faith you got, put it in Jesus. See, he's the one that saves, not the amount of faith you have. But you got to have faith. You have faith. Every one of you have faith. You would be, you had faith to sit in that pew that it holds you. You had faith to get up this morning and go out to your car, put the key, and believe the car was going to start. All of us have faith, and we just take what faith we got, put in the Lord, But Spurgeon said this, he said, little faith will take your soul to heaven, much faith will bring heaven to your soul. See, much faith will make you someone that's great for God. That's why we need to increase our faith. We need to pray, God, increase my faith. Oh, build my faith, Lord. And you know, when you pray that, remember that God sometimes tests you to build that faith. And so we find that she was a great girl, a great little girl, because she was not only compassionate, but she was confident. And lastly, because she was courageous. She had a lot of courage. She spoke up. You know, she could have been shy. People say, I'm so shy. Well, get over it. You know, one of the things we need to pray for is boldness. We'd have a lot more people saved if we weren't so shy. Boldness. You know, God's people ought to be the aggressive people. Not in a mean or unkind way. Really be aggressive by being kind. Be aggressive by being courteous. Be aggressive. We just sometimes are too shy. No wonder we're not seeing people saved. We're not as aggressive. I'm praying God baptize me with boldness. Help me to, when somebody stands, help me to not wait for them to come to me. Help me to go to them. You see somebody standing in church and they're all about, you go to them. Don't wait for them to come to you. I never forget, boy, I tell you, I was up in Pierce, Idaho, preaching, and years ago, not preaching, I was working in the Forest Service. And I was just a young Christian. I was so green, you know, in my Christian life. And I'd gone to work in the Forest Service to get some money to go to college. And I'm sitting there, and, you know, I'm feeling very, very down. Because my mother dropped me off, and I was 100 miles away from home, and that, the most horrible sickness that I ever had in my life hit me. That's homesickness. And we lived in cots and tents, you know, and I'm sitting on my cot there, and man, I'm feeling so disconsolate and so, you know, down. And all of a sudden, this guy comes over to me. He comes to me. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and says, hey, what's your name? And I told him my name. And he said, my name's Dave Carter. And we became great friends. And I'm so glad that he was aggressive. I'm so glad he came to me. See, Christians are to be the ones that carry the ball. We're to be the ones that are out there meeting people and aggressive and not sitting in some corner. Not thinking that we're a success this week because we didn't talk to some about Jesus. No, you're a failure. You know, if you listen, every day we ought to seek to talk to somebody about Jesus. Just give the word out. Don't be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God and salvation. Everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, also the Greek. So this woman, this young girl, she was courageous, you see. And that's why she was so great, Oh, if we would have more Christians who were courageous. If we would have more Christians that were confident, you know. If we'd have more Christians who were compassionate, I think we'd see more people saved. I think we'd see a lot more people saved. And so we see that this little maid was used of God here to introduce this great general to to Elisha, the man of God. Told him how he could get a healing. The third thing I want to say about this man, Naaman, we've noticed that he was a great man, and we've seen also that he the maid he captured. Now the third one you see is the mistake he made. The mistake he made. Look in your Bible, verses 4-7. The Bible says here, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 chains of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And so we find that here we see the mistake that Naaman made, and the king of Syria made as well. And note with me the mistake he didn't make. He didn't make a mistake here because the Bible says in verse number 5, when he heard about the healing, he said, go. In other words, and the Bible says he departed. In other words, he didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, well, some other time I'll... He realized he was a leper. And he was in great danger, you know. And he didn't say, I'm going to put it off. You know, he said, I'm going to go. You know, one of the great tools of Satan to keep people in the disease of leprosy and the disease of sin, the plague of sin in their soul, is procrastination. You know, one time the old devil was having a legend says he was having a meeting with his demons, and they were talking how they could keep people from getting saved and keep people, in this case, we're preaching, from getting a cure for the plague of sin in their life. And so one demon spoke up and said, well, when people are hearing preaching, I'll just go down, whisper in his ear and say, the Bible's not true. It's just written by a bunch of men. And boy, the old devil slapped that demon in the face, said, you old fool, why anybody knows that the Bible is not written by men, 40 different authors, they all agree, and there's, in everything they read, that one never worked. And one other demon said, I know what I will do. When people are hearing the preaching about how they can have the plague of sin and their life cured, we'll just go up and say, Jesus is just a man, he's not God. And the devil slapped him in the face and said, why, anybody that would study the life of Jesus, that's what Ben-Hur did. He studied the life of Jesus. He got saved, they're not going to believe that. And then one demon, boy, he's sitting there. He's really thinking hard. And then he says, I know when people are hearing the preaching of the Bible about how they can have a cure for the sin, the plague of sin in their life, we'll go up and we'll whisper and say, tomorrow, some other time. And the devil jumped up and down and said, you got it. And folks, I want to tell you something. The devil has caused many people to die with a plague of sin on them. And they went to hell for all eternity because of it. Because they listened to the devil about some other day. How many Christians are listening to the devil? Some other time I'll get baptized. Why not now? God says now is the time. Today's the day, say. So many Christians say, well, some other time I'll start reading my Bible every day. Some other time I'll start coming to the evening service. Some other time I'll witness to my neighbor. I remember one time I said that and the neighbor died suddenly the next day. I felt so terrible. I said, Lord, forgive me. The Spirit of God was telling me about doing it right away. But I said, I'm busy, Lord. I'm busy. I got this. I'll go over there visitation night. And it was visitation night. You know, he died that next day. Listen, the Spirit of God is talking to you about something this morning. Boy, you better do it now. See, he didn't make the mistake of saying, it's not a big deal. You know, I can take care of this leprosy some other day. No, he said, I'm going to go. If there's a healing for it, man, I'm going to it. I'm going to get it. Maybe he probably had some other people die of leprosy, or maybe he saw some people who had leprosy, and he said, man, I got to get the cure. But what was his mistake? You know what his mistake was? Naaman and the king of Syria made a big mistake. And that mistake was that they wanted to deal with their leprosy by their works, by their own efforts. See, what the Bible says here is they take 10 talents of silver. Oh, we'll take to the king of Israel, you know, 10 talents of silver. And we'll take 6,000 pieces of gold. We'll take 10 sets of clothing. Say, so they're making this big mistake, thinking that by their works, their good life, they'll be able to cure this disease of leprosy. And they're going to the wrong person. They're going to the king of Israel. And you know, that's what they're doing here. And so they made a big mistake here. You see, the Bible says that good works will not cure the sin, the plague of sin. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, all our works are as filthy rags before a holy God. By the way, that's a picture of the leper's rag. They used to wrap the rag around the leper's part of the body, and then they'd take it off, and the dead, corrupting skin would stick to that leper's rag. And God, the Holy Spirit, uses that as an illustration to depict your good works, to take care of your sin. It won't do it. It's a leper's rag. Filthy. Say. And so this was a big mistake. They thought they could take care of their leprosy. What you know what they need to do? What did Naaman need to do? He needed to do what that good Samaritan, the publican did, and he needed to admit that he needed mercy from God. He needed a healing from God. See, he needed to humble himself. And that's what Naaman needed to do. And he needed to put his faith in the right person. Say, Naaman puts his faith in the king of Israel. He's another man. He can't do anything. You need to put that faith in the right person. And so that's what... See, what does this teach us? This whole thing teaches us. It teaches us about your works and my works as far as taking care of our plague of sin. They can never deliver you and me from the plague of our sin. Only humble faith, apart from good works, can give you deliverance from the plague of sin in your life. Only a humble faith. Only humble faith. The next thing I want you to know about this man, Naaman, I want you to note the message he heard. He heard a message, and look at that message he heard, verse number 8, just like you're hearing a message, you're hearing this message this morning. Look at verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, the prophet of God, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away, said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not the Arbana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, the Bible says. He went away in a rage. Notice what the message was. It was very plain, wasn't it? The message was very plain. The message was this, that the cleansing is going to come from the prophet, not the king. If you want cleansing from your sin, it's going to come from the prophet of God, say. That was the message. You know, a lot of people, a lot of religions say, yeah, you need Jesus, but, no, my friend, it's not Jesus, but. It's not Jesus, but you need somebody else too. You need the help of Mary. You need the help of Muhammad. You need the help of some other. No, the message is very plain. You don't add anything to Jesus. He's the one who can bring healing to your a plague of sin. Only he can do it. Because he paid the price for that sin. At Calvary. He's God. He was perfect. He's able to pay that price. He never sinned. You need someone who's never had the plague of sin to take care of your sin. Jesus never had the, he was perfect, born of a virgin, came down this world, went to a rugged cross. In Galatians chapter 2, the verse 21 says, anytime you add anything to Jesus, you are making vain the grace of God. You're making vain the death of Christ. Verse 21 of Galatians 2, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by law, by good works, then Christ is dead in vain. See, anytime you add something to Jesus, Christ can't do anything for you. Christ can't bring that healing for your sin. You gotta just look to Him alone if you want healing for the sin disease that all of us are born with, you see. But notice something else. It was not only plain, it was simple. All you had to do is go down the river and dip himself in it. That's pretty simple. Just go down this river, dip yourself in it 7 times. It was close. I mean, the Jordan River is very, very close to where they are. The Farfar and the Damascus. I mean, you had to go clear to Damascus. It was very close. Just like your deliverance from the plague of sin is very close. You're close this morning. You're so close. You're in church. You're hearing the message. You're close. You don't have to go hundreds of miles away. It's right here. It's right here in the message. All right? And it was free. It was free. You know, doesn't our world love the word free? You get a free this, get a free that. I heard that, I think McDonald's is having a free egg sandwich for everybody on Monday morning if you got the app. Because Wendy's is coming out with their egg, their breakfast meal. Free, you get a free egg. You know, I'll tell you something. I watch a little bit on TV. It's not, I don't have cable or anything. I never have that. But, you know, there's a couple stations there that they'll have decent advertisements too. You know, basically a lot of the TV, the worst thing about it is the advertisements. They're so stupid. I mean, I can't even understand them, you know. But there's a number of them in which they advertise Medicare, and you can get signed up for this, and it's free, free, free. I get so, you know. And it's amazing how people love things free. I want to tell you something, dear friend. The gospel is free, but it costs a lot. It's great to be free, but it costs a lot for you to have freedom. People died for it, to preserve it, to give it to you. And you better value that freedom because people want to take it away. But, you know, it was free. I mean, there was no pay here. You didn't have to pay a certain amount of money. You know, it was free. And then also notice what happens to the message. He rejects it. Verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. He rejects this message that he's hearing. He rejects it. What, you're going to make a choice this morning, receive or reject? Will you reject it? That's what Naaman did. He rejected it. First off, he did. Then he got smart, you know. And he rejects it right off the bat here. How does he reject it? Two ways. He gets mad. He gets mad because, he's offended. He's full of pride, isn't he? He gets offended, you know. It's offensive to him. The message is offensive. One time I was preaching in Miles City, Montana, and I was preaching, the way of salvation. It's not by baptism. It's not by confirmation. It's not by, good works. And man, there was a lady there, and she got offended. I mean, she got upset, and she got mad. And I'll tell you something, after the service was over, she shot out of there, and she did not shake. I was back there to try, and she shot right past. I mean, she was offended by what she heard. You know, all her life she's been told that a good life and her good works and all that. Well, and now she's offended. Well, that's what happened here. He got offended. And then the second way he rejected, he says, I thought I could do it my way. In other words, he wanted to have cleansing for his disease of leprosy, his plague of sin, which is what leprosy pictures, that he could do it his way. Say, he thought that, he could come his own way. He didn't like the humbling way. Go down to a river, dump yourself in that four times. He didn't like that. That was against his pride. You know, pride is the biggest sin, I think, that gets in all of our lives. You know, pride. You know, there'd be so many marriage problems that could be solved if there was some humility. I'm sorry, forgive me. So we could have revival in our churches if there be some humility. My people shall call upon name shall humble themselves. Pray. See, what are you proud about this morning? It's keeping you from humbling yourself. You know, I had to humble myself recently. I'm an evangelist. I always get this every year. I always get some cancellations. And I don't like cancellations. You know, somebody cancels you. But there are sometimes they're legitimate. But this guy canceled me. I'm going to be with him. I was going to be with him in May this year. And he canceled me to get another evangelist. Now, folks, I don't think that's very ethical. Do you? I mean, here I've been on his schedule for 2 years. And he said, Brother Gilmore, I'll put you on next year. But I have an opportunity to get this guy. And I'm not going to be able to have any other opportunity to get him. And so I'm going to cancel this year. And we'll try to reschedule something next year. Folks, I'll tell you something. That was, I thought, very wrong. And I let him know. I said, you know, I think you weren't ethical at all. You told me that I was, and for another evangelist, you know, why can't you get him scheduled some other time? You know, you were committed. And so I let him know that I didn't think it was right. But you know, the Spirit of God began to work in my heart about that. I didn't react the way I should have. You know, many times it's not the action as much as wrong as the reaction. And how you react to something is oftentimes worse than the action. And I reacted in my spirit. And so I got in touch with him. I said, Pastor, I want you to forgive me. I didn't react the way I should have. And I said, I'm sorry. And would you please forgive me? And you know what? He was very gracious about it. And we got another meeting scheduled next year with him. You know? But oh, I tell you something, it's so good. It feels so good to humble yourself. It feels so good to get things cleared, you know? So there's nothing between you and anybody. It's good to, humility is a blessing. One time there was a lady greatly concerned about her sister, and she, every time she witnessed to her, she just didn't want anything to hear about it. And so, the sister that saved was really, really greatly a burden for her. And so she wrote a letter and said, listen, if there's anything I've ever done, if there's anything I've ever said that's offended you or caused you to have something against me, would you please forgive me? There probably wasn't anything. But she just wanted to make sure that everything, there was nothing there. And it so disarmed that rejecting sister, her humility. She called for the local preacher, and the local preacher led her to Christ. See, humility would take you a lot further down the right road than pride. Pride always takes you down the wrong road. And this is the problem with Naaman. He was filled with pride, say. And, you know, that's the way it is with so many people. He wanted to go his own way. He didn't want to humble himself to God's way. See, God has a way to cleanse you of the disease of leprosy. And that way is Jesus Christ. That way is humbling yourself and saying, I'm a leper. I've got this disease of leprosy. This sin disease. That takes some humbling. And then it takes faith to obey what God said to do. To get that disease taken care of. God said, come to Jesus. He died for you. Trust Him as your Savior. You can go by faith. That's how you get faith in the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The last thing I want you to know, I want you to see with this man is I want you to see the method he accepted. Isn't it wonderful? I'm glad I can get to that point. He accepted the method. He accepted what the Lord said, what the prophet Elisha told him. He accepted. He finally humbled himself. You know, and he finally was willing to be obedient and do what was told him to do. Go down the river. Notice what that method involved. It involved a change of his mind. In other words, recognizing that he was a leper, that he was going to die a horrible death. And you and I know that if a person dies with a leprosy of sin, the Word of God says you'll be in hell for all eternity. God's not going to let any person into heaven that's got the disease of leprosy. The disease of sin. He's going to let you. It corrupt everything up there. Say. And so he recognizes that. He has a change of mind. He is humbling himself. And then he had a change of heart. He wants to obey the Lord. He wants to go to that river. You see, as soon as those two things took place, he could be cleansed. As soon as those two things took place. Number one, recognizing that he was a leper, that he had this disease. And number two, obedience to the way to be cleansed. And he recognized it. That's the two things. Now, here's the crux of it all for us. You and I have this disease of leprosy. We need, in order to have this disease cleansed of the disease of sin, you know, cleansed, we need to humble ourselves and repent of our way. Repent of your way to take care of your sin. Repent of it. Turn from it. Repent. Turn from a church's way. You know, that's like going to the king of Syria, king of Israel, to find cleansing. You can't do it. You got to go to God's prophet. You got to go to Jesus Christ, who's represented by Elisha here. You got to go to him, say. And so, secondly, you need to go to Jesus Christ by faith. You need to obey the Word of God. You need to come to him by faith and totally, completely put your trust in what he did on the cross of Calvary in order for you to get off the road to hell. You see, you were on the road to hell this morning. Everyone was born that road to hell because we had the disease of sin, the plague of sin. And we're on that road to hell. But when you are willing to repent and change your mind about your way and turn to God's way to deal with that plague of sin, then you get off that road to hell and you get on the road to heaven. There's only two roads in the Bible that you could be traveling. The road that leads to hell or the road to heaven. And Jesus Christ is the difference. Now, notice the result of his obedience method. He went down to that river and he got down that river. He's supposed to do it seven times. He didn't just do it twice. He didn't do it. He went down seven times and he came up. And there were two wonderful results after he obeyed what the prophet of God said, what the Word of God says here. You know, the first result is he was like his flesh was like a little child. Look there in your Bible to 2 Kings and chapter number 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, then went he down, dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The leprosy is gone. You know, I don't know about you, but I love to feel the flesh of a newborn baby. So soft. So smooth. That's what the Bible says here. His flesh became like a little child's flesh. Soft and smooth. He was cleansed of that disease of leprosy. You know, I'll tell you what. He was no longer unclean. See, leprosy made you unclean before God. A person that had leprosy had to be outside the camp. They couldn't be. It was contagious. They had to be put up. And he's cleansed of the guilt of his sin. His sin is gone. You know, boy, the peace that comes when you get the guilt of your sin gone. Oh, it fills you with peace that passes understanding. He's clean. All the sin is gone. All the sins, the past, present, future, all gone. The plague of sin can no longer condemn him to hell because that plague of sin is gone. Jesus did it by his mighty blood. The plague of sin is gone. Now you can still get defiled by sin. I'm talking to people here. Many of you have come to Jesus and you've been cleansed of all your sin. Your sin can never condemn you to hell, even the sins you haven't committed in the future. Isn't that amazing? That's the power of the blood of Christ. But you can get defiled by sin. Some of you got sin in your life. It's robbing you of peace. And there's a guilt there because it's there. What you need to do today, you need to come put that sin in the blood and go out of here free. Go out of here set free from guilt. Go out of here with peace, knowing there's nothing between you and the Lord. Nothing between you and people. See, to be right with God means there's nothing between you and the Lord, and there's nothing between you and people. Is there something between you and somebody? You're not clean. You think God's going to use you and bless you when you're unclean? No way. You know, it's not going to happen. You got to get that defiling sin taken care of by the blood of Jesus today. If you've had all your sins taken care of because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he has taken care of all your sin. He's cleansed you of all the plague of sin, all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. All the sins of the past, present, even the future, you've been cleansed. But you're still a human being, and you still have an old nature, and you still live in the world. And you know what? You can sin as a believer. You can get some things in your life aren't what they ought to be. I pray you want to deal with them this morning. And then look at the last result. Verse 15, the Bible says in verse 15, "Behold, now I know." That's the middle part of that verse. Verse number 15, starting from the top. "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know.'" See, I tell you, when you get rid of the plague of sin in your life, you will not hope you're going to heaven. You will not think maybe you are. You will know it. You will know 100% for sure. I'm so glad, my friend. I'm not hoping. I'm not thinking. Thank God I know. Why? Because one day, as a leper, having the plague of sin, I came to Jesus and I trusted my Savior. And thank God, he has delivered me from all the condemnation. He's delivered me from the plague of sin. And I know. That's the Holy Spirit witnessing inside of you. You can know. He'll witness inside of you that you're going to heaven and not hell. We are all like Naaman, folks. All of us in this building are like Naaman. Spiritually unclean. But if you're willing to, repent of your way to cleanse your sin away, you're willing to repent of all the church's way and all man's way to repent of sin, if you're willing to come and obey the Word of God and put your faith totally in Jesus Christ and Him alone, dear friend, you can go away spiritually clean. You can go away spiritually clean. Remember that lady in Miles City, Montana, I told you about? Got all mad. You know, I went back to that church for a meeting. And you know, the first person came up to me, who it was? It was that lady. She was waiting 2 or 3 years to be able to come to me. And she came up to me and she said, "Brother Gilmore, I knew what you preached was right. But," she said, "I didn't like it. But I want you to know something. I came to the pastor here. And I said, 'Pastor, what do I do? I have to do to go to heaven?' He said, you gotta repent of your way of getting there. And you gotta put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord of your Savior." And she says, "I've done that. And I'm so glad." She came from being mad to glad. And I'll tell you something, dear friend, you turn to Jesus Christ, you won't be sad about it. You'll be glad about it. And I'll tell you something, dear friend, you'll get off that road to hell and you'll be on the road to heaven. And you will have all your sin totally washed away by the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the real hero of this story You know, humanly speaking, is that little girl who wanted to be used of God. Have you ever realized where Naaman would have been if it hadn't been for that little maid, that little girl who was great in the eyes of a God that's holy? And because she was used of God, you know, how's your testimony? That little girl's testimony. How's your testimony? Is your testimony being used of God to reach the lost? Or have you defiled your testimony? You need to repent, get it right, get back to living for the Lord again. Have a testimony that's ringing strong and true. May God help you do it. That's what you need to do this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word.